is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
It is indisputable that we are instructed as Christians 500 plus times in the New Testament alone to care for the poor, have faith and works.
I think the primary crisis that faces the Christian church in its totality is division among Christian believers. And we are separated from one another by what I consider to be ancillary issues.
They're uniters, not dividers. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program, and today we are talking about a new initiative for Christian unity led by Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton. It's a new covenant for Baptists, but this has to do with more than just Baptists. It has to do with uniting Christians around service to the poor, around combating AIDS, around combating poverty. But can you unify around those things if you disagree on whether or not Jesus is the only way to the Father, on whether or not an unborn baby is a person? Can you agree to disagree on those kinds of things and still work together? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, who is still recuperating from surgery, but will be back, I think, probably Monday. And today we're talking about Christian unity. What does it take? Is Bill Clinton the new face of Christian unity in the United States of America? And what's really behind the fact that Bill Clinton, along with Jimmy Carter, now is leading a movement for Christians to unite? I want you to join the conversation at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Would you trust Bill Clinton to show us the way to be united as Christians? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But right out of the gate, have my friend Tony Campolo, Eastern University. Tony Campolo, one of the most recognized figures in evangelical Christianity, the author of Letters to a Young Evangelical, and a friend and spiritual counselor at times to former President Bill Clinton. Dr. Campolo, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hey, it's good to be with you again.
Good to have you with us.
How is Dr. Mohler?
He is doing great. He is recuperating, and he is tanned, rested, and ready at this point.
Well, we need his voice up there, so I'm glad he's doing well.
Well, I appreciate that very much. What do you make of this new covenant for Baptist unity being led by Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton? Jimmy Carter's been calling for this kind of thing a lot over the years and has been identified with Christian movements, but Bill Clinton?
Well, I have to tell you that I'm all for what they're doing. I wish that they hadn't done it. I wish that other voices had called the meeting, for the simple reason that I think over the last few years, both on the right and on the left, Christianity has become too politicized, mm-hmm. too identified with political figures instead of Christian leaders and the church. I wish that some key Christian leaders would have called this meeting. There were 41 groups, Baptist groups primarily, 41 different Baptist groups, Romanian Baptist, Italian Baptist, a whole mob of different Baptist groups came together to do this. And it seems to me that it would have been much, much better had this calling together of people been done by some Baptist leaders rather than two political leaders.
Now, when you say that Christianity is becoming too politicized, I agree with you that on the right and on the left, you have people who are minimizing the faith, often to unite around political issues.
Yeah. Well, political issues are different than partisan politics.
Sure, sure.
I think that what you're driving at, and let me anticipate, that there are some issues that Christians cannot ignore,
right,
that are highly political issues. It's when we, in fact, say this party is the God party and this party isn't the party. I wish that if they were going to be political figures, I wish it had been a Democrat and a Republican. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
I just don't like all of a sudden two Democrats calling these people together. And on the right, there are people who call the evangelical community together. That kind of political division along party lines. Now, issues, that's another story. I think they're on issues. We do have to be political.
And don't you think, though, Dr. Campolo, when Jimmy Carter says we're divided and separated from one another on what I consider to be ancillary issues, and it seems that...
What does that mean?
Well, I assume what he's talking about is in response to issues of abortion and homosexuality and other issues.
I'm not sure I know what that means.
Yeah.
Does that mean minor or...
Yeah, I think so. I think he's saying we can unite.
He used a big word. He's got to put the cookies on a lower shelf for me. Yeah, I don't know what that word means. If he means minor issues, these are not minor issues.
Well, I wonder, Tony, when you think about Christian unity, and you and I disagree on probably almost everything politically that one could imagine, I would imagine.
We would agree on who Jesus is, what the Bible is, and... how to get saved.
Yeah, and
we would agree on those.
That's exactly right.
That's why we can carry on a good conversation.
That's exactly right. And the thing I'm concerned about is this group coming together can't agree on that. So that you have individuals who, for instance, deny the deity of Christ. You have people who take really bad positions on, I think, some key social justice issues, such as Bill Clinton when it comes to partial birth abortion. How can we find any kind of unity as Christians? I'm not talking about just cooperating for a specific issue, but unity as Christians.
I think that can happen. Don't you? I think that on a specific issue, people can come together, even if they disagree. But if they are saying that our commitment is built on a common faith, and there isn't a common faith, then there's a problem, isn't there?
Yes.
And when they're making a declaration, because we have a common faith commitment, we are taking a position on certain social issues, and there isn't really a common faith, and there is some dishonesty. When they, in fact, say there are people coming together across theological lines, that there will be some liberals, some moderates, some evangelicals who are coming together to make something happen, and we're not for one moment contending that these people are in agreement theologically,
mm-hmm.
but all of them are motivated, let's say, to address the needs of the poor and to address the needs of people who are of AIDS. Mm-hmm. They're religious people, and they are religiously motivated, but to suggest that we share a common faith, that would be, in fact, to distort the reality.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that you can come together. I could come together, for instance, with a group of feminists with whom I would disagree on many things to
sure.
say we ought to combat pornography, or we ought to combat abuse. But that's very different than coming together and saying this is Christian unity.
That's right. There's a big difference in saying we all have the same faith commitments, and therefore we're standing together. We don't all have the same faith commitments. And I think that it is really important that we don't ever try to compromise who we are just for the importance of giving an illusion of unity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unity is a wonderful thing, and I can feel a deep sense of unity with people that I don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And now, we've talked on the show before, and I always feel, you know, we have really strong differences of opinion.
Right.
But we have a unity in Jesus. And that enables us to carry on the conversation day in and day out. If you are not unified on who Jesus is, what he did on the cross, and the way that he provides salvation, then, in fact, we say we're a social movement. Don't call us a Christian movement.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good word and a good warning. I'm just shocked, Tony, that you and I are agreeing this much on this program.
Well, yeah, because we haven't agreed this much
on other shows,
but we're on this one.
I
see value in this covenant, but I wish they would not communicate. Of two things I wish hadn't happened. I wish that politicians had not been the ones who called the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, if politicians were going to call the meeting, I wish it had been bipartisan instead of both Democrats, because I don't like Jesus being identified either with the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, and neither do you.
Mm-hmm.
We see Jesus as transcending all partisan politics and calling down his judgment on both.
Mm-hmm.
But what we are saying in reality is we want to be working together for common causes, but to call it Christian unity when we don't have the same religious, spiritual values about who Jesus is could be a misnomer.
Well, I appreciate that, Tony Campolo. You and I are agreeing. I think the millennium may have just come in. It's a shocking thing.
For the first time, we're you know, I would say we're dancing with each other, but then you're Southern Baptist.
Yeah, that's right. We're walking with each other at this point. Well, thank you, Tony Campolo, for being with us today. I want to hear from you. Tony Campolo says, you know, we can't agree when we disagree about who Jesus is. I frankly am shocked that he and I have this much agreement on, of all things, Bill Clinton. What about you? What do we need to agree on in order to come together as Christians to cooperate for good things? Poverty, AIDS, debt relief, any number of good things. I think that when we come together on the basis of those things and ignore the gospel, which is what I think happened here, when we bring in a figure like a Bill Clinton who doesn't recognize and actually has denied the personhood of some of our brothers and sisters, unborn babies, then we've done away with the gospel. What do you think we need to unify as Christians for the task at hand? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Do you trust Bill Clinton as the uniter of American Christianity? This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and I've got a confession to make. I was Jimmy Carter's campaign manager, well, for the second grade class at Woolmarket Elementary School in Biloxi, Mississippi anyway, because he was President of the United States. I was proud to have a president from Georgia, a president without an accent, and I was devastated as a second grader when he lost to Ronald Reagan. But since then, I've got a different attitude about Jimmy Carter, and frankly, just the sanctimoniousness of these kinds of pronouncements is enough to grate on me, especially when you have a man who says, let's get beyond word games, let's unite, let's all come together. And this is somebody who at the same time is accusing Southern Baptist conservatives of being equated with the Ayatollah Khomeini, with the Taliban. How is that for unity? And frankly, when Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton are planning for next year a new Baptist covenant, uniting Baptists together, Jimmy Carter's one thing. But Bill Clinton? Are you kidding me? Do you trust Bill Clinton to unite us around a new Christian movement? And that applies not just to Baptists, that applies to all kinds of Christians in the United States of America. What does it take for us to really unite? And can Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter do it? For an outside perspective, at least outside of the American evangelical bubble here, I have on the line John Mercurio, who is the senior editor of The Hotline, which is probably the most influential news service and political information service out there. Also appears about every day with Chuck Todd on Hotline TV, which is available on the internet, which I watch every day to the point that my 2 5-year-old sons will yell out, let's watch John Mercurio, which is a little dysfunctional, I think. I probably need to start showing them some other things when it comes to that time of the day. But John Mercurio, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
What do you make of this new Baptist covenant with Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter from a political standpoint?
From a political standpoint, I think the most important thing to talk about is the timing of this conference. If you look at the political calendar of the 2008 presidential campaign, mm-hmm. the conference, the convention that they're talking about holding falls smack in the middle of the early primaries, the early caucuses that where President Clinton's wife, Hillary Clinton, will of course be competing in the Democratic primary. It falls right between, I believe, the New Hampshire and the South Carolina primaries. Now that's a big deal because it essentially means that Hillary Clinton's husband will be highlighted and have a very high profile role among evangelical Christians right before she faces voters in South Carolina, where within the Democratic Party there's a rather substantial block of evangelicals. This could have been planned for any period of time. It could have been planned earlier this year. It could have been planned for 2009. But the fact that they chose to hold it on the very weekend before Senator Clinton will face voters in South Carolina, I think, I think it's impossible to view that as a coincidence, and I think that something that they'll have to sort of answer to.
So you think Bill Clinton is trying to say, okay, let's set up American secularism as my sister soldier here. We're going to show that we're not necessarily Dukakis secularists out there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think you've seen Democrats with some legitimacy try to make overtures to the evangelical community, to Christians, to conservative Christians, with a play on issues that they believe are much more powerful and popular for their party and their agenda than Republicans have been able to do. And I think that's what Clinton has been doing, and I think that's what he and his wife, I think, as she pursues her presidential campaign, are going to be seeking to do in this with this convention.
Well, in terms of political strategy, how effective do you think this is going to be?
The thing is, with the Clintons, you never know exactly how it's going to be perceived. There's always sort of an extra, an added layer. There's sort of the intended impact, which would be, you know, to appeal to Baptists and to evangelical Christians. And then there's also sort of the anti-Clinton backlash, at least among, a segment of the community. It depends on how I think they address the fact that they are scheduling this right in the middle of the political calendar, the early primary calendar, and whether or not they're able to sort of explain why the timing was so important. I think if they're able to do that and they're able to hold this convention, it can be extremely effective and successful for Senator Clinton in her presidential campaign. On the other hand, you know, she's not someone who suffers from lack of exposure.
Right.
So, and most Americans, if you look at polling that's out this the past couple of weeks, most Americans have such firmly set opinions of her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be very difficult, I think for her, as opposed to people like Barack Obama, who are relatively unknown. It's going to be very difficult for her to change the opinion of people, the opinions that people have of her, whether it's through a Baptist convention or through any other sort of overture that she makes over the next year.
And Barack Obama is trying to feel out the evangelical vote as well. He's appearing on a platform with Rick Warren.
Right.
Do you see similar things going on among the other Democratic candidates?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, throughout the Democratic primary, I mean, you're seeing an overture. And I think you saw this also in 2006 in the midterm campaigns, especially in a lot of the rather Republican-leaning conservative red states where Democrats did relatively well in 2006. I mean, if you look at where they were able to win in the House and in the Senate, it was in the conservative sort of Reagan-Republican areas or Reagan-Democrat areas. And so I think coming out of that midterm election success for the Democrats, the presidential candidates are looking at the sort of the models, the formulas, the strategies that those candidates used as a way to try to build support among that community. They see them as much more receptive, I think, than they did in 2004 when the evangelical community went much more strongly for President Bush.
On the Republican side, how do you see John McCain faring among American evangelicals in the next year or so?
Relatively well. I think it's a race at this point, though, where the evangelical community and conservatives in general in the Republican primary do not seem satisfied with any candidate that they've seen. John McCain, of course, a lot of people skeptical about his loyalty to the party. You know, he's fashioned himself as sort of a straight-talking maverick.
And James Dobson has come out this week saying that he will not vote for John McCain under any circumstances.
Right, even though, you know, McCain has made overtures towards him, and he's made overtures towards Jerry Falwell. The other candidates, though, are also sort of equally as sort of unproven. You have somebody like Mitt Romney, who's Mormon, who has to be sort of welcomed or has been really aggressively trying to pursue this community with mixed success. You've got Rudy Giuliani, who's strongly pro-choice, strongly in favor of gay rights, and the former mayor of New York City. You know, I personally have a hard time seeing the connection between the community, evangelical community, Christians, conservative Christians, and Rudy Giuliani, although he does in polling show relatively well. I wonder if that's because of his leadership of New York City after 9/11 and not because of his, you know, his position on issues. There's somebody like Sam Brownback, who's a relatively unknown senator from Kansas, who's also running, and I think it is much more sort of ideologically comfortable for the community that we're talking about, but at this point I think he needs to prove his viability in order to be able to to succeed.
All right. Thank you, John Mercurio, senior editor of The Hotline. Appreciate your outsider's view of the evangelical community facing Bill Clinton. I think that this new Baptist covenant is a fraud. I think that Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton attempting to unify Christians around something other than the gospel, indeed something radically opposed to the gospel in many instances, is not going to work. Nobody's going to buy it. But what do you think? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Do you trust Bill Clinton as your new religious leader? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter. They're wanting to unite American Baptists and then American Christians outside of the Baptist fold behind a new unified Christian movement. My question to you is, do you trust Bill Clinton to give us direction on what the Bible says about Christian unity and about faith and works? And it is astounding to me that Bill Clinton can come out and talk to us about the New Testament mandate to have faith and works. A man who stood in the Oval Office and vetoed legislation that would prohibit doctors from tearing babies apart as they are being born. A man who is known for so many things, and religious leadership is not one of them. This is astounding that you can have this take place, and it's astounding to me that you can have a group of people gathering together. When I look through this list, I see all of these people coming together. There are so many of them who deny central doctrines of the Christian faith. They're able to say, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, we're all unified, we're all together on poverty, we're all together on these kinds of issues. I just think it is incredibly naive, because if Christians, especially Southern Baptists that I know, can see and agree on anything right now apart from the gospel, it's Bill Clinton. They recognize what Bill Clinton is about. Why on earth would you try to have unity around Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton? Do you trust this kind of maneuvering? How do you know when we as Christians are being used for political purposes? John Mercurio said he thinks this is an attempt by Bill Clinton to help out Hillary Clinton, because he's there gathering with a group of Christians. He's there saying, you know, I'm with the Baptists, but I'm also against the Baptists. We're coming together for something that's as warm and fuzzy as unity. You don't have to deal with all of these issues, like whether or not there's salvation outside of faith in Christ, like whether or not abortion is an evil that ought to be prophetically stood against, all kinds of issues. We can just be unified and kind of bask in the love. That's an old social gospel unity. That is not, I would argue, the unity of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how do you know? How do you know what we can unify around? How do you know when we're being used by politicians, really, for political purposes, politicians on the left and on the right, too, who are able to talk in ways that sound like they are with us, even though when they're in office, they work against us? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Dale on the line, who is calling from Tampa, Florida, listening on WTBN. Dale, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing great. What's your thought today?
Well, I got so many thoughts about it. I do trust Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter very much, especially with what's happened in the last 6 years.
Okay.
I don't believe that Christians are right-wing warmongers unless there's a really good reason for it. I think we kind of missed the boat with Iraq. Afghanistan was fine. Mm-hmm. But I've heard Bill Clinton say that there are entirely too many abortions. That's not what it's all about. It's also except for the life of the mother, I think there's something about that in there that the mother's life comes first over the baby when it comes to the partial birth abortions, when there's a problem that the mother might die.
Yeah, but that wasn't the legislation. The legislation had an exception for the life of the mother, and Bill Clinton still vetoed it. This is a man who was lockstep with the abortion rights industry all the way through his presidency. Even apart from all of these other issues of personal character, you have a man who stood with the most radical movement against unborn babies. This is the most pro-abortion president in the history of the United States. I cannot believe that we would gather together and say, we're going to get behind you, Bill Clinton. We're going to trust you to gather us together and have some kind of Christian unity. I don't think that's unity at all. I think that's a sham and a farce. And I think if we can't see through this, then I wonder what we can see. What can we discern? What can we recognize? Are we so far gone that we don't have even enough discernment to know when we're being used by Bill Clinton as a Christian uniter? What do you think? Do you trust Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter to unite Christians together? Or do you think this is politics? Politics by the master politician, Bill Clinton. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-8255, 877-893-TALK. How do you know when we're being used by the politicians and when there's really a movement toward Christian unity? This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Jimmy Carter has some lust in his heart for some Christian unity. Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton are getting together saying, let's get these Christians together and let's tackle the issues and not be worried by ancillary divisions, by minor divisions, like whether or not we believe that Jesus is the only way of salvation, like whether or not we believe that unborn babies are persons. I don't think those are minor issues. And I don't think we can get together as Christians, when we disagree on the major issues of what it means to be prophetic Christians in the 21st century. What do you think? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and I want to talk to you. Do you trust Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter or, frankly, any political leader claiming to be a religious leader trying to unite us? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I just am stunned by Bill Clinton. Now, we're used to Jimmy Carter coming forward every year or so and lecturing us on religious issues. Jimmy Carter has resigned from the Southern Baptist Convention so many times. He's a professional ex-Southern Baptist, and I'm used to that. He's also talked on the one hand about unity at the same time that he talks about conservative evangelicals like me as the equivalent of the Taliban or the Ayatollah Khomeini. I guess if Jimmy Carter deals with conservative evangelicals the way he dealt with the Ayatollah Khomeini, we really don't have anything to worry about. It's just to stand back and carp and criticize. But now he's added into the mix Bill Clinton. It is breathtaking that Bill Clinton would actually be standing and claiming to unite Christians and to tell us what Christianity is really all about. I agree that Christianity is about helping to relieve the terrible effects of poverty. I agree that Christians are called to minister to those who have AIDS. I agree that Christians are to deal with all of these real human needs. But I do not think that we can gather together with those who accept every tenet of liberal Christ-rejecting theology that comes down the pike, and those who hold to some of the most horrifying social policies, such as Bill Clinton, who actually worked against protecting unborn babies from partial birth abortion while he was president of the United States. If Bill Clinton repents of that, then I think, okay, yeah, let's welcome him in. But not until then. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Do you think Bill Clinton is the new hope for Christian unity in the United States of America? 877-893-TALK. We have Larry, who's calling from the home state of Jimmy Carter, Marshallville, Georgia, listening on XM Radio. Larry, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it very much.
Glad to.
Yeah, I been listening to you, and I just thought to myself, my, it would be a very sad indictment for our spiritual leaders to look to our political leaders for their leadership. And I'm going to be praying that will never happen, that our leaders will look to our political leaders to bring us together in unity. That is reverse or the flip side of church and state involvement that we would not want. I just hope that never happens.
All right. Thanks, Larry, for that word. I agree with Larry. I think that it would be much more effective if you had a group of Christians who came together and said, we agree on the gospel. This is what the gospel is. We believe that this is what it means to be saved from sin and from death. We believe that this is what it means to be a prophetic Christian witness in the world. We're united around those things. We may disagree on some things, but we agree on those things. And we're standing and we're calling on our political leaders to listen to what we have to say. That's a very different thing than this, when you have two former presidents, both of whom have a political agenda that is completely opposite from the majority of American evangelical Christians who now are coming in and telling us what Christian unity actually is. I think it is absolutely astounding arrogance. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, especially when the wife of one of these politicians is herself running for president of the United States next year. It just doesn't pass the smell test with me. What about you? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Let me know what you think about what it would take to get unity among Christians. And can Bill Clinton help to achieve that? Can Jimmy Carter help to achieve that? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Jerry on the line calling from Jeffersonville, Indiana. Jerry, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Well, thank you. I share your disdain for those men. I do think there's an agenda, like the gentleman from Hotline said. I'd want to add one other element. It may be a stretch, but don't forget you got two former presidents. That gives them an automatic audience in the major press.
Yes.
Across the country, and that is going to force evangelicals into a defensive posture and an unpopular posture. At least they're going to try to, is my belief. And so I think it's a contrived agenda, and evangelicals are going to have to think carefully about their response.
Good word, Jerry. I think that what's going on here is Bill Clinton trying to triangulate again. This is not anything new for Bill Clinton. This is exactly the same kind of thing that Bill Clinton tried to do. Remember in 1996, when the Clinton-Gore campaign was taking out advertisements on Christian radio, on evangelical Christian radio stations, in order to promote the fact that Bill Clinton had stood for installing V-chips that filter out sexually explicit and violent material off of televisions. Bill Clinton was for school uniforms. Bill Clinton was for all of these family-friendly type things. But nobody bought it. I mean, yeah, Bill Clinton was reelected president of the United States, but not because evangelical Christians believed that he was one of them. But now, I can certainly imagine Bill Clinton calling up a group of Baptist leaders saying, I sure would like to be involved in your confab down there. But what I can't imagine is that you would have anybody who's a religious leader who would say, yeah, I think that's a good idea. We'd love for you to come on in and be our poster boy for Christian unity. I mean, Jimmy Carter's one thing. Jimmy Carter is theologically liberal. Jimmy Carter has all kinds of horrific social agendas. And yet Jimmy Carter actually has at least a reputation for piety, at least as a churchman. But now we've got a guy, Bill Clinton, who writes in his autobiography, My Life, about going and seeing a demon-possessed voodoo priestess in Haiti sacrificing a chicken and passing out. And he says, when I saw that, I just realized the Spirit of the Lord moves in mysterious ways. He cannot even distinguish between voodoo priestcraft and the gospel. And we trust this guy to unify Christians? How naive can we be? What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How do you know when you're being used by politicians? Whatever kind. Left, right, whatever. Give me a call, 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller. This is the Albert Mueller Program.
Don't stop, 'cause you're about to run.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in now for 3 weeks for recuperating Albert Mohler, 3 weeks that has come to an end because Dr. Mohler is recuperated, he is doing well, and I think he'll be back behind this microphone Monday. It's been good to be with you all for the past 3 weeks, but I am thrilled that he is back up and around and ready to be back behind his microphone. You know, when Dr. Mohler called me about the surgery, about knowing that he was going to have the surgery, ironically enough, I was on my way to Little Rock to go to the Bill Clinton Presidential Library. I've not been to the Clinton Library yet, wanted to go to the Clinton Library, and turned around and was never able to go. So I'm going to get there sometime soon. I took my boys just this past last December, to Plains, Georgia to look at the Jimmy Carter birthplace and the Jimmy Carter hometown. I would have never dreamed at that time, though, that Jimmy Carter would bring Bill Clinton in as a means to unify Christians. I mean, really, what we need to think about right now is the fact that you've got a group of Christians in the United States of America, or at least a group of professing Christians in the United States of America, who are willing to say, let's unify around political issues. Let's unify around poverty. Let's unify around AIDS relief. Let's unify around global warming. But in the midst of this, you have people who deny the deity of Christ. You have people who deny the exclusivity of the gospel. That is a dangerous, dangerous place in which to be. Again, we can cooperate together with, as Americans, as citizens, as human beings. I don't mind uniting with feminists to say we ought to stand against abuse of women, against sex trafficking in the third world. But when you unite together with people who deny the gospel, or when you unite together with people who have actively worked for the destruction of human life and abortion, what in the world are you doing? And you consider that to be a Christian witness? I'm frankly not just worried about this among those who are joining this bandwagon. I really am worried about the fact that we have some Christians without the kind of discernment to see when they're being used. And frankly, that doesn't just have to happen with a Bill Clinton or a Jimmy Carter. Conservatives are just as prone to follow after someone who says, I'll pay some attention to you. What we ought to have our unity around is the gospel, around Jesus Christ, and around what he's revealed. This is Russell Moore standing in for Albert Mohler, who will be back on his radio show and thrilled to be back, I know, in just a matter of days. This has been the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.